It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast.
It's Rich Keith.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
You're looking crisp. We're sounding crisp tonight, Richard. It's going to be a good one.
Good.
Very excited about today's topic, so let's get after it.
This is exciting, and once again, for those of you just listening on the iTunes or on Stitcher or Google Play, we're also going to try to incorporate a video aspect of this as well. Davey's Twitch account, twitch.tv/rvonD. We are live streaming that bad boy right now. So check that out during the week. We're going to be doing that a lot, just like we are right now. And as Ryan said, we have a nice episode planned. But before we get to the topic du jour, Ryan, let's get to the news. Ryan, HBO on their Twitter account ran, I don't even know if it's fair to call it a teaser. It was more like a teaser for a teaser. Mm-hmm. But basically just some images, not even images, just like words and in the right font of Watchmen. And they're just really guaranteeing us that Watchmen is coming in 2019.
Just want to let you know that this is a thing that we plan on doing. So
Damon Lindelof. Nice. Right. So I would say high hopes for Damon Lindelof Watchmen. We are certainly on board for. So I would get in on that if you haven't yet.
And what is it? The tagline was like nothing ever ends. So is this like what happens after is what I'm guessing?
Maybe. Yeah. They got their work cut out for them just doing the comic. They don't need to come up with this other nonsense. Hopefully they just do that.
Are we doing how much of the original cast is coming back? Because I don't think any of them are doing anything right now.
No, I don't want any of them. Recast.
You want to recast?
Full recast, yeah.
No, Jackie Earle Haley is Rorschach. You want him back?
I do. If he wants back in, he can be back in. He was the best one, don't you think?
Yeah, and anybody can do Dr. Manhattan. It's just a voice at this point, right?
Just a big blue wiener.
Yeah, really. Just swinging. MTV. You know, HBO loves that. They just love their. There was a whole South Park episode of that, wasn't it?
Do you think there's a subset of Dr. Manhattan adult film?
There has to be, right? There has to be. I mean, you can find anything, whatever milks your Guernsey, you can find it on the internet.
It's a good point. If you whatever the weirdest thing you can think of, it's been topped. Like whatever you can even imagine, it's been topped and it's out there. So on that note, Ryan, I saw you tweeting about this the other day. Will Smith has really quite a filmography ahead of him. It's really going to be three straight hits. he's making Bright 2.
Yeah.
Netflix flop Bright is going to have a sequel. Suicide Squad is going to have a sequel. And Bad Boys 3 is also going to come out. Now, I did like Bad Boys and Bad Boys 2. They were great.
I like Bad Boys 2 more than I like the original Bad Boys, only because Bad Boys 2 is the most ridiculous movie I think I've ever seen. Like, why are two Miami street cops like crossing international lines, you know, to go on this raid with like the DEA? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, you know? It's got like three different endings too. It's like, oh, we're done. No, we're not. We're going to Cuba. Like, now we're doing this, and you're like, oh my god, this is
the other thing too, the part where the kid comes to date Martin Lawrence's daughter. And they answer the door together, and like Will Smith's like pretending to be drunk.
Amazing.
Yeah. That might be the funniest scene in the movie. Not even close.
Then the kicker, remember Jay Feely? He tried doing that with his daughter, and they did like a real photo this year at her prom, and everybody got all up in arms because it was like guns. Everybody was like losing their minds about it. So
this isn't Bad Boys 2. You can't do that.
You can't do that. It's
not a Michael Bay movie. You can't do that.
Ryan, we have a lot of Netflix news. Do you want some Netflix news?
I guess.
Strap in for some Netflix news. Stranger Things 3 apparently is going to be really inspired by the film Fletch.
Which isn't great, because I think I was talking to you guys on the group chat. I think Fletch is one of the most overrated comedies of all time.
Yeah, I'm not a big Fletch fan, so I did not really love this news when I heard this news.
The people who like Fletch seem to really like it, and I'm not one of those people. It's like ultimate like Chevy Chase being. It's on HBO if you want to watch it, but I'd say skip it.
It's a skip for me. It falls into that category of some of those movies from the 80s that, unless you grew up with it, it's probably not as funny as people will tell you that it is.
No, it's not.
Most Chevy Chase movies are like that for me.
Yeah, a little uneven.
This is going to be, this is more exciting. American Vandal is getting a season two.
Yep.
It does not appear as though the Wayback Boys will be in it. It's going to be the two kids that did the documentary. Yep. They are going to be a part of it, and they are going to be going to a Catholic private school to try to solve who is the turd burglar.
Right. And there's something, if you watch the trailer, which I'm sure you did, there's an incident that happens called the brownout, which on Chicken Finger Day, everyone starts crapping their shorts. They start everybody, going, here's a callback. Yeah. They start going Valerie Borchin all over the school.
Oh,
that's a callback. That's a callback. The best was Olympic minute.
The one girl who's just like, yeah, that I just shit my pants. I'm like, nah, that's good enough for me. That is good right enough. In my wheelhouse.
Yep. Nothing think, the brown humor.
I still think right away, and I do think, you know, poop is funny. I'm in on that. But when they did all of season one, when they said who drew the dicks, and I think we know who drew the dicks and who did the dicks.
Yeah.
You're not going to be, that's not going to be topped by who's the turd burglar. As good as turd burglar is, who did the dicks is much funnier.
Oh, that's much fun. That's much funnier because you're getting like, you know, other people are like, you know, constantly saying like, who drew the dicks? Like, that's like, to me, like that was part of the charm of the first season, but. You know, talking about like chicken fingers and crapping and stuff. I'm all about that. Those are the two of my great loves in life.
It's fantastic.
Pooping in chicken fingers, you know?
And this thing, it's coming out September 14th. This is right around the corner.
Yeah, that kind of snuck up on us, huh?
I was not ready for that. I knew they announced the season two, but I didn't realize it was going to be this quickly. And then the week before that, it's going to be Iron Fist season two.
Yep.
They released a longer trailer. Am I crazy to think that it doesn't look that bad?
I mean, we've been duped by trailers before. We've bought into that before. And I think in reading all the articles and the people know, the showrunners of Iron Fist know that it wasn't great and they knew they missed. So I think they're trying to correct some stuff now. Like you said, the trailer was a little bit more action packed. There's a little bit more, you know, Danny Rand is going full Bruce Wayne. Like he's going out at night, he's skipping his other job. And, you know, what's her name is really Wing.
Colleen Wing is really
worried about him. You know, so hopefully they right the ship with that. It's never going to be great. It's never going to be Daredevil because I don't think people care enough about Iron Fist, unfortunately.
He's also rocking like the actual like mask now.
Yeah, there was like one scene where they were.
That looks a lot better than what he was working with before. So we'll see. And I think let's make the announcement now, Ryan. At some point, let's say middle to end of September.
Okay.
We'll do a Luke Cage and Iron Fist both season two combo episode.
We can call it Heroes for Hire episode.
Heroes for Hire season twos.
Boom.
There you go. Done. Mark it.
Yep.
Michelle Wolf and Joel McHale both had their Netflix talk shows canceled.
One I get, and the other one I'm kind of like indifferent towards. So Michelle Wolf, she went through some stuff with you know, the correspondence dinner and stuff, and that's kind of no surprise to me that I'm a little surprised, but
I watched a couple episodes. I like her. I think she's funny.
I like her too. And the Joel McHale show, he basically tried to do like the soup again on Netflix, and it was awful. And you could tell, like watching it, that he didn't want to do it like at all. Like he just completely mailed it in.
That's not good.
It was almost unwatchable. Like it was bad, like really bad. So yeah. I'm not surprised that got canceled at all.
And I don't think that's really like people. I still don't think Netflix viewers are thinking talk show or like weekly talk show, live talk show. You're still thinking binge show, right? Like
give me a show,
give me 10 episodes. I'm going to pour through these. So maybe it'll work with somebody. I don't know. I know people are watching the Letterman one and whatever, but we'll see. Then the last bit of Netflix news. GLOW season three is in fact happening. That's what we thought. They're moving to Vegas. I think it'll be good.
No brainer. I mean that show's good. It got better. It's one of the rare ones that like got better. I think so. Yeah. I thought season two was better than season one.
Yeah, I think you might be right. How about this for a documentary? They're going to be making The Dark Heart of Jason Voorhees: The Making of the Final Friday.
You went on just that? The last one. And then they say The Making of the Final Friday. I am, but like. Is this the Final Friday, the movie, the one that was just like...
No, this is the one that was... That led into Freddy versus Jason. So there's like the image at the very, very end where you didn't know they were doing the movie with the two of them.
Yeah.
And they put that in with like the blade fingers or like the Freddy hand.
Yeah,
What?
Like, what? Yeah, so I'm always interested. I love watching like special features and I love watching how movies get made. And I'm interested to see like why... they chose to do this, like, now. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. So maybe there's something in there that I'm intrigued. Maybe there's something about that movie, like, I don't know. So I'm intrigued by that a little bit.
There absolutely could be. Yeah. Hold on to your nips. Then the last bit of news I have, Ryan, is apparently Tim Miller, who directed Deadpool 1.
Yeah.
He, remember, was originally on board for Deadpool 2, and then something happened, then he was out on that. Apparently, he was going to have the Fantastic Four in Deadpool 2 somehow, and they were going to fight the Juggernaut, I guess.
Well, they're both is Fox, right? So yeah, Deadpool's Fox. So that one, it could have worked. I think a lot of stuff, and listening to Mac and Goo talk about the X-Men movie franchise and those, like, Dark Phoenix and New Mutants kind of being shelved.
Yeah.
You got to wonder if this, like, Fox Disney deal has been in the works for, like, a really long time. And probably, that's why they've kind of put, like, the kibosh on stuff like that, because they knew that this was probably going to happen and that Fox was selling off all their movie rights. So maybe that would have been, I don't know. And which Fantastic Four are you going to put in it? Are you going to do new people? Are you going to put in the ones that stunk? Are you going to put in the Jessica Alba and, like, Michael
No.
Like those ones.
I think they probably considered the crappy Fan 4 movie, because that was the most recent. And I don't know if they signed multi-film deals or what they ended up doing. If not, I think they were recast. They probably did. I think the hope was they were going to have multiple movies.
I hope they don't. Oh my God.
But they won't. They're not going to.
That was an absolute dung heap.
That's one of the worst comic movies of all time.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's not close. Especially, even compared to the ones that came out, you know, 15 years ago, where they didn't have as good of special effects and everything. This is just as bad as those.
Well, I mean, it was just as bad as those, but at least those movies were self-aware enough to, like, at least add some camp to it, add some, like, silliness to it. Yeah, that was just dead serious and super dark and
serious shit.
No villain until, like, the last 10 minutes, and then he died.
Yeah. And they have, like, one of the best villains in Marvel, and they didn't even, like, use him. Yeah.
They didn't even use him.
That's brutal.
Stupid stuff.
You ready for your thing, Ryan?
Let's hit it. Let's do this.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, so just to point out, if you guys want to keep up with, like, all the video game news and stuff like that, check out mammothgamers.com. They're doing a great job. They're hosting our podcast. They've been super supportive of us. So Albert and the team over there, you guys have been great. Thanks so much. Bit of news that I wrote about for them recently, the James Gunn firing. So he's done. And I kind of gave my thoughts on that for Mammoth Gamers and kind of let the people know what I thought about it. And I don't know if you agree with me, Richard, but, where does the buck stop with that with that thing? I mean,
where does it?
You get some bad boys in there.
Sure.
You know, you got Josh Brolin, who's in all these, he's in two. It was the summer of Josh Brolin. And, people just sweep under the rug that he beat up Diane Lane. We've talked about this before.
It's brutal. We talked about this before, where it does seem like more people have been getting in trouble for things that they said than for things that they actually physically did.
Which is bizarre. Yeah. It's rampant. It's in sports. It's in entertainment. It's crazy to me that stuff goes on. But to give you some news and notes for this weekend in terms of video games, we're seeing a bunch of new trailers now for new games. One that came out today. Not to timestamp this whole thing, but Devil May Cry 5, a gameplay trailer for that came out. And when they showed this stuff at E3, when they showed it at I forget what other convention they showed it at. It was basically Virgil, who is Dante's brother. Virgil and Dante, great literary references there. So in the gameplay trailer that dropped today, Dante actually shows up, and he drives some sort of motorcycle that can be split into two and then used as weapons. So that was
sort of like a Nintendo Switch controller.
Yeah, like he's riding the motorcycle, then, like, takes it apart and starts starts beating people over the head with it. So that seemed interesting to me.
I don't know.
You know what? The always problem I had with the Devil May Cry games is you have these sweet guns. And they're not worth a goddamn. They are just not worth anything. Like, they do nothing. They do nothing. So, I mean, make those things, like, worth using is what I'm saying. Right. Coming off the heels of our fighting games podcast, a trailer for Soul Calibur 6 came out today.
Hey now.
So that looks interesting you create kind of your own fighter and you take him on, like, this, like, weird fighting pilgrimage to, like, take over lands. At least that's what it looks like from the trailer. So it's a little bit different.
Yeah.
You can get in on that. It's completely custom. So you can do like chainmail armor, or you can be a samurai, or you can be some weirdo with bladed nunchucks.
What kind of fighter would you be if you could choose any kind of fighter to be, to create, if you were creating yourself, what would be the best kind of fighter to be?
I mean, you have to kind of go samurai, right? If you're talking swords. Yeah, I mean, it's almost like you have to. I don't know. Or do you go like big, like hunking, like two-handed broadsword, like a claymore? You know what I mean?
Ooh, yeah.
That's not bad. I'm much more of an elusive fighter. And like, you're more of like a straightforward, like brawler.
Come at you and just get knocked right out.
Yeah, you're coming right to the center of the ring and just swinging. You know what I mean?
Just over one way or the other quickly.
One way or the other, it's getting done quickly. Yeah. So, other game news. So Just Cause 4, a lot of people are into like Just Cause. I never was. I thought it was silly. Yeah. So the trailer for that, there's a tornado. This guy Rico seems to be chasing it down and having a good time with it and just, you know, having fun out there.
Speaking
with his
guns. Speaking of tornadoes, I did a run through of Paperboy.
I didn't see it yet. I was gone for the most of I was gone for like a long weekend and I didn't see it yet. But
the screen's terrible. So I just filmed it again with my phone, and for some reason the screen kept on like changing color. It was like the way the phone was reflecting off of the screen.
Oh no.
It'd give you a seizure. So I would urge everybody not to watch it, but just sat right down, just took it, you know, Monday through Sunday, no problem. Delivering papers, moving them around, avoiding guys, you know, with guns and everything else. It was a good time.
So, it's a good time. We call it the ghetto stream. We don't like to do socioeconomic things, though. We don't like to, like, do that, but...
Bootleg stream, I think, is more...
Bootleg stream is more, yeah.
PC.
Yeah. So, I know we got to get to the topic du jour, but... So, Sony is now coming out with new PlayStation 4 controllers, something they haven't really done. They're new colors now, which is nice.
Ooh.
So, I think they're trying to go, like, Xbox does. They have, like, that Elite controller. They're kind of, like, getting into that market. Where they have like those like souped up controllers that people use.
That's
And the game Spyro for the kids has been pushed back. So that was supposed to come out, I think, this year, and I think it's getting pushed to next year. So
all right,
very sad on the Spyro front, but there we go. News and notes, video game minute, boom bam.
Well, Ryan, let me ask you this. Are you ready for the topic du jour?
I forget what that is.
Oh, it's the topic of the day.
And thank you. Yeah.
It is summer camp movies, because we figure summer is running out. This is sort of the very end of summer. Maybe kids are returning from their summer camp or however the hell that works. So we figured this was the last opportunity we had this year anyway to talk about summer camp movies. There's a good amount of them, and I would say they're pretty polarizing. Like, there are some that I think are pretty good. I was looking it up. A lot of the critics think a lot of them are trash movies. I was really surprised. Oh, yeah. So let's just kind of kick it around here. We're not going to do a top 10. We're just going to kind of do best, worst, some of the best characters, best counselors, best and worst camps, and all of that stuff. So when I first say summer camp movie, what's the first one that pops into your head?
Two. Meatballs and Wet Hot American Summer.
All right. Why don't you start with Meatballs? Because I'm a bigger fan of Wet Hot, and I can get into that more. So give me some Meatballs.
So Meatballs, a Bill Murray movie. With that, my voice just cracked. Something fierce. Did you hear that?
Well, Bill Murray.
I sounded like Al Caprillion.
Hi, Precious.
Yeah. So this was kind of like the camp movie that kind of started all this like camp movie thing, where Bill Murray's the lead counselor at a summer camp.
At Camp North Star.
Camp North Star. And this is where the camp across the lake, Camp Tiger Claw, is where all the rich kids go. And so we just have this ragtag group of misfits who are at this summer camp. They're, you know, they're making out, you know, they're necking, they're doing all summer camp counselor things. The kids are idiots. And it's a fun movie. It's a very uneven movie though. So it seems as though it's a series. They shot like a series of like vignettes that just like, this is what the movie's about. Then they completely switch gears and go to something else. Because it starts out with like Bill Murray has this relationship with this kid, Rudy, who's a little bit of an outcast. Like no one really likes him. Who's played by Chris Makepeace, who's just a really creepy looking preteen. And he takes him running, so he kind of takes him under his wing. Then it switches gears, and then it's about like these CITs and like their relationships, and like they're making out and they're having the summer of their lives. Then all of a sudden we're in this no explanation, we're in this basketball game with Camp Tiger Claw.
Obviously, yeah.
And then all of a sudden we're in like this thing with like this Camp Olympics thing. So like it doesn't really tie together that well.
Right. It's got a bunch of ideas slapped together.
Yeah, but it's none of these movies we're going to talk about next would exist in terms of like camp comedies, because I think the horror predates the comedy. But Meatballs is kind of like the granddaddy of all summer camp movies.
Yeah, right. I think the idea of doing a comedy at a summer camp. And so I go in the other one that you named, Wet Hot American Summer, which came out in 2001. And I was shocked and appalled when I looked up the Rotten Tomatoes numbers. What do you think the critics gave Wet Hot American Summer?
I was going to, if I were to say, like, what would I give it? Like, where would I put it? I would say, like, low 70s. Like,
I would even say in the 80s. I mean, well, but again, that's different because, I mean, how many Infinity Stones would you give Wet Hot?
Four and a half, five.
Yeah. It's that good. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the critic, 33%. They just don't get it because it's like it's not like it's so outrageous, some of the stuff that's in there. And so I guess, like, you know, the scene where they go into town and do drugs all day and then come back and everything's fine.
Yeah,
like, they just like don't get it, I guess. And like that, or like when the kid, you know, he like kills the kid basically at one point.
Yeah. And like they throw him out of it.
I'm sure critics were like, oh my God, that's disgusting. Like, what are they doing?
Or like, that's stupid. But I think this is like it's a cult movie. Like people love this movie, and knowing that it's not, I think the problem with film critics and stuff like this is you have to be objective. Like you have to say like, this is quantifiably good and bad. Like the way you shot this, like the fact that it's sunny outside and then you cut to an interior shot and it's raining, like stuff like that. Like, that sucks. Like, that's not good filmmaking. I get it. But, like...
But come on.
The movie, it's fun. It's funny. It's super funny. The cast is outrageously talented.
The cast is really good. Yeah.
And you can tell that a lot of it's, like, improv'd.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. My favorite character is Gene, the cook.
Gene, the cook is great.
Yeah.
My favorite...
Used to be Mr. Kick-Ass, you know?
My favorite's Andy, played by Paul Rudd. He's just he's the guy with the, you know, the jean jacket all the time. He's too cool for school. His girlfriend is Katie Finnerty, and he's just the man. Like, he doesn't care, but he's also making out with Elizabeth Banks half the movie. Yeah, like, he doesn't care about the kids. Yeah, it's good for him.
And like everything good happens to Paul Rudd, and not you know he's making out with what's her name? Her name is Connie. In Mighty Ducks, Connie from the Mighty Ducks. He's making out with her, and then he's making out with a rather young Elizabeth Banks. I mean, he could do a lot worse than that. Yeah.
She's wearing a pair of shorts in one scene there. Yeah, it's good. So that takes place. It takes place outside of Waterville, Maine. So it's a New England camp, Camp Firewood.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bradley Cooper is good. Amy Poehler is good. Janine Garofalo. I mean, it's funny. I mean, it's outrageous, too. Then some of the stuff at the end with Nigel from Frasier, like,
yeah.
Just like, it doesn't make any sense, some of the stuff, but it's good. And then the stuff they did for Netflix was actually pretty good too. Not as funny as the movie, I don't think, but they did a couple series you should check out where they do like a, you know, like a prequel, then like a 10 years earlier and a 10 years later or whatever it was. But
They did First Day of Camp and then 10 days. Oh, 10 years
later. That's what it was. First Day of Camp and then 10 years later. And what's
the funniest part to me is that generally the people in those shows look good. Like Paul Rudd still looks good. Amy Poehler still looks good. Bradley Cooper, obviously. They brought in Chris Pine for one of those things. And
Chris Pine took Cooper's spot, I think, right?
Something like that. No, he played like a musician who was like in whatever.
No, you're thinking of Chris Pine, but then they also brought in Adam Scott.
Yes.
Yeah.
To take over. Yes. But Michael Showalter, who plays Coop in the First Day of Camp series.
Oh my God.
Awful. He looks awful.
He must have gained 80 pounds of bad weight.
And none of it good. Like, it's just all
into it too. Yeah. Like, he's wearing like cutoff shirts and stuff. And like,
and he's got like the puka shell necklace or like the shell necklace that's like way too tight on him. Just a terrible look.
Awful. I also love how in Wet Hot where he's the guy who he loves Katie Finnerty, like loves her, and he's like so nice to her. She's nice to him. And then at the end, like, he thinks he has a chance and she's like, no, like I'm with Andy's super hot. Like, I just, he treats her like shit. He's like, oh, he's like super hot. I'm going to just super
hot. Like, I like you. You're a nice guy.
Yeah.
But
so that, That one to me is good. And that one, so my wife had never seen it before until like a year ago. And it's like one of her favorite movies now because she actually went to summer camp. I didn't.
But I
she,
did. I was a summer camp kid. And
so it's probably even funnier to you guys who like can see some of the stuff that's going on there.
Yeah. And it's real. Like you have that kid. Like there's that kid in every single cabin, like no matter how old they are, that like just the whole summer he just didn't shower. Ugh. And like counselors tell me, like, dude, like I was a counselor up until I was like 17 or something like that. And I was like, you got like, I'm going to get in trouble. Like it's to the point now where like, I'm going to get in trouble.
It's if a real
you
don't problem.
Shower. You need to hit the shower. And you know, you yeah. wind up like throwing a kid and like, can I go in with my clothes on? And you're like, fine, yeah. like, fine. I don't care.
Just whatever go, just you want to do.
Yeah.
Speaking of smelly camps, what about Heavyweights? 1995's Heavyweights. I know you're not a huge fan.
No, I am. I like Heavyweights, but the problem I have with I like Heavyweights. The issue I have that I've always had is Ben Stiller. And insofar as the character he plays in Dodgeball, which is another good movie.
Yes.
Is White ruined good. Because White it's the same character as Tony Perkis. It's the exact same character.
Well, maybe it's a shared universe.
And maybe it is. I don't know.
His name. It could make sense after being a failed fitness guru in Heavyweights. Maybe he becomes another kind of fitness guru who is also. Yeah. He thought, but so just take Heavyweights on its own. So before Dodgeball is even made.
Yeah.
That's because you've always asked the question, and it's a good question. Is Ben Stiller ever the funniest character in a movie?
Never.
And the answer is yes. Heavyweights.
Never. Heavyweights. And that's the one exception. But I would say that the fact that he's like, oh, yeah, that worked. And then recycled that character makes Heavyweights inherently lame.
But I cannot. No, I'm not going to punish Heavyweights because two of my favorite comedic actors of all time are Vince Vaughn and Will Ferrell.
Yes.
They don't play a lot of different characters.
That's true. Okay, that's true.
They play. There's a lot of overlap there with those guys. But Heavyweights was really good. It just some of the stuff they had, like a young Kenan Thompson was in there, a young Goldberg who was just in the news recently, probably a future pick of the pod. He was in that film. It's called Camp Hope, and they're trying to get these fat kids to be skinny. And nothing beats Tony Perkis. I'll still say this line every once in a while that lunch has been canceled due to lack of hustle. I'll still say it.
I love it. There's that pause, and he goes, deal with it, you know. And I love that the big in Meatballs, the big athletic event at the end of the summer is like this road race. They were like, you know, they have to like race like a 5K or something like that, right. Or like a cross country trail, which I think is a 5K. And then this one, it's like, no, we're gonna ride go karts because we're not running anywhere. But that's one that they had the blob, which the first time I've ever seen
that. They pop the blob. Oh, that's so sad for those guys. So sad
because that thing was the coolest thing ever. But that is it. Heavyweights is good. I do like Heavyweights.
What do you think? What do you think it got from Rotten Tomatoes?
Heavyweights, probably not good. I would say like in the 50s.
29%.
Ew. So Rotten Tomato critics do not like summer camp movies.
Huh? No, they don't. However, I should have mentioned the audience score on Wet Hot was 76, and the audience on Heavyweights was 77.
Okay, yeah. So people like it.
People like the movies.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they are.
One that I really liked, and it was because it came out in 94. So I was 13 years old. Right around this right age was the movie Camp Nowhere, which is awesome. So the idea is that these kids, they're all supposed to go to fat camp, and one's supposed to go to computer camp, and one's supposed to go to like drama school, and one's supposed to go to like this computer programming, whatever. And they all trick their parents into sending them to like this abandoned camp where they just do nothing all summer. And I remember thinking like that's the life, is being like
free.
Yeah, just free. And I don't know what she's doing now, but the young woman in that movie who was the supposed to be like the drama camp hot blonde,
who's that?
She was something else. I do not know, but 13 year old me was all about it. I don't know what she's up to now.
Sure.
Don't know what she's up to, but a great what's up if you're listening. Christopher Lloyd is in the movie, and he plays like the he's an actor, like a failed actor who like runs the camp, like pretends to run the camp. So I love Camp Nowhere. Did you ever see this one?
I've not seen Camp Nowhere.
You've never seen Camp Nowhere?
I'll add it to the list. Yeah, I'll add it to the list.
Yeah, Mud's early favorite for guy I would hang out with at summer camp. And I'll, okay, we'll get into that a little bit later. But
all right, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw, and this is an obvious one, Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, hard to beat Camp Crystal. Camp Crystal Lake is probably the most well-recognized name of any camp, like fictional camp, right?
Yep, it has to be, right? If 12, you say Camp Crystal Lake to anybody.
Yeah, you know exactly. So 12 movies in the franchise, not all of them are out of camp. One's in space, one's in Manhattan, one's in hell. But most of them are at Camp Crystal Lake, Jason and Mrs. Voorhees, Tommy Jarvis, who is in, I think, 4 of the 12 movies, is sort of one of the main kind of assistant characters. But it's a good one. And that's sort of, you mentioned how, you know, Meatballs got the horror, the comedy camp movies going. This obviously got the horror movie, the horror camp going. So you can go there, one of two things can happen. Either you can laugh your ass off or you can get murdered.
There's no in between.
Those are two things, but I would say Friday the 13th, the original, or even part two, I would throw in onto the list of best summer camp movies.
Yeah, for me, it was, I always thought, and this might be a hot, it's not, it's a warm take. It's one of your signature warm takes.
Give me a warm take here.
I always thought Friday the 13th part two was better than the original.
That's a nice bathwater take. That's right, a nice there.
Because people, there's like going to be like 50-50. See, speaking of the cat, you see the cat?
I saw the black cat.
Look at him back there.
He's having a good time. So that's,
he's having a time.
Yeah, part two might be, well, I don't know. I think I like the first one better, but there's no actual like big hockey mask Jason. Actually, there's not hockey mask Jason in two.
I think he gets it.
Wearing a bag?
Yeah. Bag. He's wearing a bag on his head, yeah, with the one eye.
Yeah.
It's, I went like this and I closed the one eye.
Really think about it. It's kind of amazing how iconic Jason is, where Jason, like the Jason that you like close your eyes and see isn't in a good movie.
That's true.
You know, like at least, like true, Michael Michael Myers and Freddy were in good movies.
Yeah, even Leatherface was in a good movie. And then
They were all in shit movies too.
Right.
But Jason's really not in any good movies. But anyway, I have two others that I would include somewhere on the good list.
Yep.
Adam's Family Values.
Which I was wondering where we were gonna place this, because
I think a lot of it takes place at Camp Chippewa, where Wednesday and Pugsley go. Right. And then you remember the kid who liked Wednesday? His name was Joel. It was played by a young David Krumholtz.
Yes, it was.
So they had a nice thing going on. Also, this is a nice little trip down memory lane. The popular girl at camp, Amanda Buckman, was played by an actress named Mercedes McNabb, who played Harmony in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Huh.
Everything's connecting.
Everything's connected. The Whedonverse.
Christine Baranski turns in a hell of a performance as the camp leader there. So
she does. Now that's a combination. It's a wedding movie and a camp movie.
Yes, it is. I think it would qualify for both lists. I just like the images of Wednesday and Pugsley at like a summer camp, because like you think of summer camp as like, oh, these kids are having such a great time and everything, and then you have them who are miserable, and it's just it was good.
And give summer camp a bit of the macabre.
Oh, a lot of the macabre, sure.
Yeah, right.
Sure.
Wednesday doesn't really feel in summer camp. Let's see. So the ones that are kind of like on the cusp, I would say, as like summer camp movies. What about like Moonrise Kingdom? Like you saw that, right?
Yes. Ivanhoe.
Yeah, Camp Ivanhoe. So that's, you know, that's...
It's a weird one. Bruce Willis, Ed Norton. I didn't love Moonrise Kingdom, but it was like, all right, that's a Wes Anderson movie.
It's an absolutely Wes Anderson movie, and one that you can just, it's great for one of those movies. It's quiet enough where you can put it on if you want to go to sleep, and then you can just kind of ignore it. And it's got like that. It's very like whimsical, so you have like the music going on in the background. Right. So that's kind of like on the cusp for me. Another one that I remember loving and that did not age well at all was Ernest Goes to Camp. Have you seen that recently?
That was on my list. That was absolutely on my list. I think a little sidebar here, Ryan.
Yeah.
What is the legacy of the Ernest movies?
See, that's the thing. I don't think if you showed a kid an Ernest movie, we'll sidebar the sidebar. I showed my 4-year-old daughter today, because I think it just came on Netflix recently, Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Ooh, well, Pee-wee's not for everybody. I remember even when I was little, Pee-wee I was not about.
Right, but she's like enamored by it. She's like,
Okay.
This is crazy. Like, the chair can hug him. Like, this is nuts. Like, everything in his house is alive. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool. So that age, so little kids would like that. But if you showed, like, an eight-year-old, like, Ernest Goes to Camp, he'd be like, what the hell is this? Like, who is he talking to? Who's Vern?
Like, oh, I love Vern. The hell is that?
Aren't we Vern? We're all Vern, aren't we?
I think we are all Vern. We are the collective Vern.
We're all Vern. So, like, if you try to, like, explain that to a kid, they'd be like, what the fuck? You talk.
When I was going over some of the things for this episode, my mind just started going through. Me and Shark used to watch all the Ernest movies all the time. And so sure. Camp, Scared Stupid, Goes to Jail. There's there's like five or six of them, I think. And I'm thinking to myself, like, if I was an adult when these movies came out, like, what would I have thought about? Like, it's so, but like, there's nothing like it.
No, there isn't.
Like, how would you explain the Ernest movies to some, like, the same thing you were saying, like, if you showed a little kid, or even if you just found another adult that was like, yeah, I've never even heard of that, where would you begin?
I don't know. I mean, all right, who's Ernest? All right, Ernest is kind of like this weird redneck kind of like janitor guy who's like kind of like a dummy, but he breaks the fourth wall like constantly, and like, but the fourth wall is named Vern, so he's talking to, hey, Vern, like, he's talking to Vern the whole time, but you're Vern.
So is he Deadpool?
Essentially, he's like the summer camp jail.
Ernest is Deadpool.
Halloween Deadpool. Yeah,
he's Deadpool without a mask.
That would be a great bit for Ryan Reynolds to do. He would do like an Ernest bit.
But like,
we should write that in.
He's kind of a forgotten, like, movie legend, if you ask me. Because think about it. He played, so Jim Varney, right? Pick of the Pod.
Yep. Pick of the Pod.
He played this character Ernest, who is the lead character in, like, is in every scene of every one of these movies. And they made multiple movies. I think they made five that were in the theater. I would
say four or five. Yeah.
And then there were some direct to DVD one or video. Yeah. Like, it's just, and is he in anything else?
I don't think he was in the Beverly Hillbillies. He was in that. Oh, okay. He was in that movie where he played Jed Clampett. So, but like, yeah, he made a career out of like being Ernest.
Oh my God, it's fascinating to me. I mean, there's got to be more. There's got to be like the E! True Hollywood Story, if they even do those anymore. Oh,
Jim Varney? Yeah. Ernest. It has to be, right?
And Vern. I'd watch one on Vern.
And yeah, who is Vern? We are Vern.
We're Vern. You're Vern. Yeah. No, you're Vern. By the way, that was Camp Kakaki. And Camp was spelled with a K.
I thought it was Kickakee.
Oh, Kickakee.
It was a Camp Kickakee. Yeah. Kakaki. I like Kakaki better.
Camp Kickakee. Yeah. And it was Camp was spelled with a K.
I'm just looking through the list right now of like best summer camp movies. Ones that are worth mentioning. Race for Your Life, Charlie Brown, is a good one. Mm-hmm. Whitewater Summer with Sean Astin and Kevin Bacon is a good one. I don't know if that's more of like an Outward Bound, not like a summer camp kind of thing. But that's a good one. Let's see. There's another one I wanted to mention.
Parent Trap.
We have to mention the Parent Trap.
Camp Walden in Maine.
Yeah. The original or Lindsay Lohan?
The Lindsay Lohan one. You could do that
Lindsay
one.
Lindsay Lohan one is good. Let's see. American Pie Band. No, we're not going to talk about that. Let's see. I think that's what else you got.
I was going to say, I got a couple for worst.
I got a lot for worst.
Can I start with?
Yes, you can.
With Sleepaway Camp?
Please do.
So Goo has mentioned Sleepaway Camp many times on Mac and Goo, including some of the Halloween episodes and spooktaculars that we've done.
Yep.
And so some of this is based off of what he has told me, because I don't think I've either not seen Sleepaway Camp or I haven't seen it in forever. But bottom line is this. It came out a few years after Friday the 13th. So they're piggybacking off of the horror camp movie. So what happens is there's these two kids. There's a boy and a girl. And they're swimming. They're not at the camp. They're just swimming in a lake. All of a sudden, some lunatic comes like a bat out of hell. He's like pulling like a water skier. And this boat murders one of the kids. One of the kids. So now the other kid has to live with their aunt. Right? Because I think the parents die or something. I think it ended up moving on with the aunt. I believe this is what it is. Maybe I'm missing something. Just go along with it. Right? I'm a storyteller. Yeah. So then it goes on to live with the aunt. Right?
Sure.
So the aunt's raising the kid. 8 years later, they send that kid to the same camp where the counselor murdered their sibling.
That's just bad parenting.
Right? And so now you have so it's the girl now, right? I think her name is Angela. So she goes to the camp after her brother, Let's just say I'm putting brother in quotes, but her brother is dead, right? So the girl's going to camp. So the whole movie is this girl. They're picking on the girl. They hate the girl. They don't like the girl. People start turning up dead. People are everywhere they go, they're turning up dead, but they're all ruled accidents. Like all of them, they're all different ways. They've all been ruled accidents. And you're starting to get a trend here that it's people that are picking on this girl. Right.
Oh,
and now there's one guy that likes the girl. And so he sticks up for the girl. So you're thinking maybe it's him. Maybe it's him. Turns out it's the girl who's doing it, but she's not a girl. She's actually a guy. Spoiler alert. It's an M. Night Shyamalan twist. She is revealed to have a penis the entire time, Ryan.
And it was the trees.
No, that you're thinking of the Happening again.
No, it wasn't the trees.
It was this boy who grew up as a girl because he lived with his aunt, and his aunt always wanted a girl, and so raised him as a girl. And so, but at the end, he just rocks out with his cock out, and you're like, holy smokes. And so anyway, this movie, which is a Camp Arawak, 80% on Rotten Tomatoes.
What? Come on.
I don't get it. Now, I don't think I'm guessing there was not a lot of critics. You know, sometimes that happens where it's like
back in like 83, whenever that movie came out.
But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Goo can correct me, but I'm pretty sure that's how the movie played out. So
I'm sure he 83, Sleepaway Camp. Yep.
1983, Sleepaway Camp. And so it's one of they say it's like a shocking twist ending of any movie ever. And so this girl the whole time was raised. But this movie involved like, at one point, the girl who we know is a boy.
We know is a boy.
Like the cook tried to like rape her or something. Then there was she had like flashbacks to when she caught like her father and like her father's like male friend having an affair. Like there's a lot of weird kind of things. Not that it's weird, but like she didn't think that that's what he was into. Like there's just all kinds of stuff in this movie. And yet apparently critics really liked it.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot to unpack there.
There's a ton to unpack there. Yeah. But this spawned a bunch of sequels.
Yes.
Including I believe it was Bruce Springsteen's real life sister later played the character of Angela.
Really?
Who was like actually a dude. But had like her had their penis removed, I believe. Yeah.
Real Ray Finkel situation.
Say hello to Mr. Knish.
So that's a bad one. And I would say what's worth mentioning is any Meatballs that's not the original Meatballs is awful. And I believe it culminated with Meatballs 4, in which the lead role was played by Corey Feldman. And this is when Corey's not doing so well. Corey is – we're out of that, like, teenage phase. I think Corey Haim was doing a movie. If anyone has seen this movie called Prayer for the Roller Boys
– I'm out.
Which is – oh, yeah. And it was a movie that was a post-apocalyptic gang movie starring Corey Haim, in which there was this street gang that was run by rollerbladers, if you can believe that. So if you've seen Prayer for the Roller Boys, please. Oh, you know, but 1992, a lot of neon, terrible movie, is called Meatballs 4 to the Rescue.
Brutal.
So you don't want to see that movie. That's a bad one.
What about Camp Cucamonga? Came out in 1990 with Jennifer Aniston and Breckin Meyer. Now, how about this cast as well? So they said... Yeah. The primary, this was from like Wikipedia probably. It said the family film served primarily as a vehicle to cast a variety of stars from popular TV series of that era, including John Ratzenberger from Cheers.
Yeah. Yep.
Brian Robbins from Head of the Class, Chad Allen from My Two Dads, Candace Cameron from Full House, Josh Savanio and Danica McKellar or Winnie Cooper from The Wonder Years. Urkel from Family Matters, and then a couple of others that were in, like, they were all in this friggin' movie.
What is happening? And let's see.
That came out in 1990, so it was a very young Jennifer Aniston. I think that, dare I say, pre-troll Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah. Yeah. She still had the,
right around there.
She had her nose done. Am I right?
Yeah. See, I thought she did, but then there might have been a story that said she didn't.
Shaved down just a hair.
Yeah.
Because I remember Leprechaun.
looked different.
Jennifer Aniston looked a little bit different.
We're going to have to ask Warwick Davis. He'd be the only one who would know.
Yeah. some of the worst camp movies I've seen, there was one called Fired Up, which involved two bros going to cheerleading camp, which I watched. And that was just a dung heap.
Yeah, so good.
It was the kid who played in, remember the Dumb and Dumber prequel? He played Jim Carrey. I forget his name. You know him if you saw him.
Yeah. I know. I know you're talking about.
So he was in it. It was pretty bad. And the other one was American Pie Band Camp.
Yeah.
Which if you've ever seen, that was probably one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Terrible. Just all those American Pie movies were just brutal movies.
And what makes those like American Pie movies? Is it just like Eugene Levy, like Jim's dad is in it? So it's like all of a sudden it's like American Pie. Is that how that works?
Pretty much. It's got to be like a producer, like a similar producer, just so they could slap the title on it. And then American Pie Presents.
And somebody's name Stifler. Like, and it's like some weird like cousin or like stepbrother or something like that. Like some weird relation to him.
They really bastardized the whole thing.
Not good. Not great.
All right, what about best characters you'd want to hang out with and or the best counselor?
Okay, so the best kid I would want to hang out with, again, we talked about this a little bit before, Camp Nowhere, Mud, played by Jonathan Jackson. Is it Jonathan Jackson? I forget. But he's kind of like the mastermind of the whole thing, and I feel like you need that friend who's like going to, like when you're off screwing around and like trying to like make out, like he's going to be the one who's like kind of a little bit of a stick in the, dare I say it, the stick in the mud. Well, he's going to be like, hey, like, but kind of keeping the whole thing together. You need that friend.
Yes.
Like kind of keeps you in check. So I think summer camp me needed somebody who would like, and it's always someone that you wouldn't really like hang out with.
Right. You know what I mean? Summer camp friend.
Yeah. Who you just need to like, we need you to be the lookout.
At camp. Basically. Yeah. He's got the good snacks. He's got the good plans. He knows what he's doing. He's nice.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice to everybody. Everyone gets along with him and you know, he's going to like take care of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You need that guy.
I agree.
You know,
I think my counselor of choice would probably, not to dwell on the point, but it would probably be Ernest.
It would probably be Ernest or Tommy Jarvis.
Tommy Jarvis.
You're getting out if Tom is Tommy Jarvis.
He'd be a guy you'd want to hang out with. Let's see.
I would want to be, if I were a kid and I wanted to be a counselor, I'd want to be Andy Paul Rudd from the King, where he calls himself in like 10 years, the King of Camp. He's the King of Camp.
He's the King of Camp.
You love that guy.
Yeah, he was the man. I think Camp Firewood would have to be the place to go. I mean, that just seemed like.
Waterville, Maine.
Yeah.
And the best part, like you said, they go into town and they're like doing like hardcore drugs.
Whatever they
like,
want.
Old ladies. Yeah. And then they're like, how is town? You're like, it's good to get off camp, even if it's just for an hour. Like all that
amazing.
Stuff.
Amazing.
That was pretty awesome.
Oh, the other dude, was it Ken Marino? With his ridiculous hair and like his short shorts. He's amazing in that whole thing. And like
Victor Pulak.
He like claims like he's had so much sex and he's like never had any. It's like there's always that guy everywhere you go.
Yeah.
But he's the man. Trying to think what else for camps. I mean, you wouldn't want to go to Camp Hope because you're already a fat kid if you're going there, which is too bad. Childhood obesity is a real thing, Ryan. I don't know if these camps help or not, but.
But they you learn to love yourself.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not about changing who you are. It's about accepting who you are.
I mean, that.
You know what I mean?
No, but I mean, that the point is to change physically who you are at those camps.
And, you know, it's like the average Joe's gym. If we can do that, you know, get a little exercise in when you're hanging out with good friends, fine. But like, we like you just the way you are. You're average cool.
Joe's
you
know, camp. Against
you. Yeah. It's like average Joe's camp is what that is.
That's all that is.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
I tell you what.
Yeah.
I tell you what. The camp I'd least want to go to is whatever camp, sleepaway camp you just described to me. Oh, my God.
Arawak.
I don't want to go. I don't want to go there.
There's all kinds of bad news going on there. It's just a scary scene.
And minus the scary stuff, they're dealing with a lot of issues that like young people just aren't equipped with. Like, how do you identify as gender? You know, it's not as binary as people, you know, that's pretty heavy stuff for kids.
It is.
You know, I don't know where to deal with that. Lance Cashman from Meatballs is the guy I'd want to least hang out with. Mm. He's the guy who runs the sailing.
Yeah.
And
dangerous.
And even one of the counselors says Lance Cashman is a total jerk off. And he says,
right,
I don't jerk off. You know, and that's like, I don't care for Lance Cashman at all. He's a real dumb.
No, I don't care for that either.
Yeah.
Ryan, you got anything else on summer camps?
I love summer camp. It was a big part of my life as a kid. The scariest camp movie I've seen is probably Jesus Camp.
Ooh,
where they go? That's some scary stuff. And not to bring that into it, but someone mentioned it in the chat on Twitch, and I do want to give a special shout out to our friends at Camp Anawana. Salute Your Shorts, the television series, which great Saturday morning Nickelodeon show.
No doubt.
Bobby Budnick. I would want to hang out with Budnick. The counselor Ugg, whose name was Kevin Lee, and they called him Ugg Lee.
Mm.
So there's that.
That's tough. That's a tough nickname to lug around your whole life.
Salute Your Shorts is a great show. We were talking about summer camp movies, so obviously we couldn't talk about Salute Your Shorts.
Yeah.
But
we'll strict that from the record.
That's from the record. But it's worth mentioning.
A lot of great movies if you really think about it. Like in the history, like summer camps were going on for a very long time.
Yes.
It's Wet Hot American Summer, it's Meatballs, it's Heavyweights, Friday the 13th. That's about it. I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, according to critics, it's Sleepaway Camp too.
It's Sleepaway Camp. Sorry to spoil that twist of an ending, but maybe I need to prepare you for it because
it's been out for 25 years or 35 years. If you haven't seen it yet.
35 years.
You need to see it.
All right, let's get on to the next thing, shall we?
Hit it.
Pick of the bomb. Oh, what do you got, Ryan? Kick received the third pinnacle.
I'll go first. I know you got to go. You're big timing everybody on the stream right now by saying you have to go be on TV.
No, that's not what's happening. No, I got another 9 minutes here.
You know, I got to be on TV too. I got to be on TV playing video games for the people. I'm a man of the people.
We probably are on TV at some people's TVs.
At some people's TV. I guess I'm on someone's TV right now.
Somebody's watching this.
I guess. But anyway, so I am all caught up with all of my programs. So I'm all caught up with Better Call Saul.
Ooh. Better Call Saul is awesome, by the way.
I'm all caught up with Preacher, which is worth a look.
I watched the Tom Brady episode.
And I might have been my pick of the pod before, but I'm all caught up now. Castle Rock on Hulu. If you're not watching that, watch Castle Rock. It is super good.
Did you say Fraggle Rock?
Fraggle Rock.
I want to see that again.
Users.
Castle Rock, what do I need to know going in? Anything?
Are you aware of the movie Shawshank Redemption?
I've seen it.
Do you know who Stephen King is?
Heard of him.
You're good.
I'm in. Hulu, you said?
Yep. Hulu.
How many episodes? How long are the episodes?
5, about an hour apiece.
I can do that.
You got time. You can do that.
Now you said
comes
you're
out every Wednesday.
You said you're all caught up on TV, but I feel like you're not caught up on Luke Cage.
That's not TV. That's Netflix.
Mm. I feel like you're not caught up on Sharp Objects.
I read the book. That's one of those things. Like,
okay, so you're not going to watch Game of Thrones. You're not going to watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. I'm not going to get into this debate with you. I'm not going to like get into this because you're right. All right.
What is that Amy Adams character like in the book? Because she is
cuckoo bananas.
Yeah. There's a lot. I feel terrible for her.
Oh yeah, cuckoo bananas.
Speaking of Game of Thrones. How about this? This is your early release.
Where'd you get that?
Fenway Park today. The K-Slayer, Chris Sale bobblehead. He's got all the garb on. He even has the metal hand like Jamie Lannister does on his pitching hand.
Do you want to make him a Lannister, though?
I was going to say, like,
the thing, like your best guy, you want to make him a Lannister?
I know, like, Jamie Lannister has had, like, a bit of a redemption tour, but he also has sex with his sister.
Right. He's not a great dude.
He also pushed Bran out of a tower, although...
Right.
That may have led to Bran being even more powerful than we will ever know.
He did him a favor.
So that's true. My pick of the pod, Ryan?
Yeah.
I'm going comic book. I'm going Darth Maul. Darth Maul. I was devastated to find out that this is sort of a one-off. So this is a collected edition. It's only 5 issues like put together like a lot of these collected editions are. I wish there was more. So this takes place pre- Phantom Menace. And so you get to, it's all about Darth Maul. I believe it is canon. And I was, as soon as I was done, and this came out, I think last year. So it's not brand new, but it's new to me. And as soon as I finished it, I'm like, oh man, I wonder how many more there are. And then I was reading up on it and it's like, oh, it was just a 5-issue miniseries. I was like, come on. I thought they could have carried. Now I'm sure, and we have a lot of Star Wars super fans out there that listen to the podcast. I'm sure they can point me in the right direction of what other Darth Maul material I should read. But this is Cullen Bunn who wrote this.
Yeah.
He did a bunch of stuff. He did the Drax run with CM Punk. He was like the co-writer with CM Punk on the Drax stuff.
Yep.
And what was it, that Harrow County? Was it Dr. Jeff that told us to see? Somebody recently told us to, or Dr. Joe, I mean, not Dr. Jeff.
Dr. Jeff.
Dr. Jeff. That's somebody else altogether. Dr. Joe told us to, I think it was him that said, check out Harrow County, which is also by Cullen Bunn. But anyway, I would recommend that for Star Wars fans and Darth Maul fans.
Sure. One thing I'm going to say, too, because you brought in the book and you threw me for a loop. So the Spider-Man game that's coming out in 3 weeks for PlayStation 4 exclusive, which I don't know if you heard, there's a big Spider-Man game coming out.
Oh, I can't wait for that Spider-Man game. Now, is that a PlayStation exclusive, Ryan?
It's a PlayStation exclusive, so you don't have a PlayStation, you can't play it. But what you can do.
Did you see that tweet? I think Marcus from the Boxers might have retweeted it. It was some guy who was like, Xbox owners when PlayStation or when Spider-Man comes out, and it's just a picture of like the Pink Panther humped over with like his hands like fiddling his thumbs like
So that's a reason to pick up a PlayStation. But there is a novel called Hostile Takeover, which is a prequel to the video game. So what they've done is they've set up kind of like this universe, and to get like a better idea as to like what is going on and who this Spider-Man is, there's an actual book called Spider-Man Hostile Takeover. It's not a graphic novel. It's a book. Actual novel.
Are you going to get it?
I'm going to have to.
Yeah, right? You are. Is it already out?
It's out. It came out today. This week.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
It's a brand new one. So going to have to read that.
Yep.
Or someone's going to have to tell me what happens.
That's true. You'll have to report back to us on that no matter what. Next week, Ryan, I'm very excited for this episode. I am all fired up for this episode. I would invite you all to listen to the episode, even if you don't see the movie, even if you don't have time to see it, because I guarantee you I'm going to have a lot of fun with the Happy Time Murders. I've been looking forward to this since I saw the first trailer. This thing could not be more up my alley.
No, this is like your thing. This is like
rated R Muppets.
If someone said like, what kind of movie do you think Rich would want to make? I was like, some horror movie having to deal with like the supernatural or like the Muppets, Sesame Street, but like rated R. Like you would want to do that with like Muppets, like, you know, hand releasing silly string all over each other, you know?
Oh, God.
Like, that's kind of like right up like his alley. That would make the most sense to me.
Amazing.
All right.
It looks amazing.
So do you got to get out of here right now, or do you get some time for some questions? If anyone has any questions, I don't know if we've had any yet. Fire away some questions while we're at it. If we're in the chat, throw us some questions. And thank you. There was a lot of people who, first of all, Mac, who subscribed again.
Thanks, Mac.
A couple of people who threw follows while we were doing this. Thank you so much. I did see them, but I was trying to make this a thing. So let's see. I'm trying to see.
I'm sorry, Joe. I did not mean to call you Jeff. There's actually there's a Dr. Jeff that used to tweet me, but that's certainly not you.
That's not it. Have you heard from, what's the guy's, not Andy Dufresne Count or whatever Chocula? His name is?
No.
Andy Dufresne. Haven't heard from him recently.
Sometimes I have to scroll through the old mentions.
Does The Great Outdoors count as a camping movie? No, it does not.
No, because so this isn't like a camping movie. This is a summer camp movie.
Yeah. All right. Mac asks, best camp activity?
Sax.
Heavy petting, old fashions.
Dry humping.
No, the best camp activity, I was very much involved in archery and riflery and a program called Land Sports, which was basically just like, any playground game you could think of, we played it, including like, but we did, when I was a camp counselor, me and this guy, we had this idea. We did retirement day, which was basically like bingo, shuffleboard, like card games. And like, we had the one thing was like a prune juice drink off.
That's pretty good.
And so he's like, David, you handle like the prune juice chugging station. I'm like, all right. I got it. And it's like 100 degrees outside.
Ugh.
And what he didn't tell me was that like I wasn't supposed to chug against every single kid who came up to me. So I had a line like 20 kids deep, and I'm just like racing them with like solo cups of prune juice. That did not end well for me. Let me tell you this much about that.
How long did it take you to get regular?
No, I was like, I was regular, but it was just like rock solid. You know what I mean? Let's see. Davey, did you realize that Fired Up is actually a spoof of a cheerleading movie? Yeah, I did. I don't care. It was silly. It was stupid. Outside of Gimp.
What?
I'm just reading. I'm seeing anything with a question mark. Best X-Men video game. My favorite is the arcade.
Yeah.
Well done. Now you jumped. The X-Men Origin, the Wolverine one was actually.
I got there same time as you did, maybe even a little bit before.
You did. You beat me to it. Worst camp activity was probably be sailing or ecology was pretty bad too.
Or just waking up early, am I right?
Or if you had to be like, it was your turn to clean up breakfast. No, like that was
for
that
the
was
birds.
The nose goes game is where I learned that at camp. That was a good one where you're like, whoever you just like, the counselor does that. That was from Meatballs, by the way. They did that Meatballs.
There you go.
I would say the swim lessons didn't stink. It was the swim test that sucked.
Mm. Best camp snack?
Anything? Let's see. Camp snack.
I was going to say something really offensive.
You were. Don't do that.
I'm not going to do that. I like my job.
Snack combos. You said best snack combo. So combos were pretty good.
Mm.
Talent shows were always fun.
Let me just let everybody know right now, Ryan, you can rate, review, and subscribe on the iTunes. We're closing in on 200 ratings, I believe it is.
Which is good.
So keep those coming. How many, keep reviewing.
How many negative ones?
Three? Five?
Something all right. Like that. That's not bad.
I think we're at like 2 1-stars, 3 2-stars, or vice versa, something like that.
Yep, and shout out to the guy who chirped me on Twitter and said that like Mac and Goo is way better than us. I didn't know we were in direct competition with Mac and Goo, but it I'm glad to know that like
rivalry. There's a lot of hatred. At Dork Podcast on Twitter, youtube.com/dorkpodcast. You can email us anytime you'd like. dorkpodcast@gmail.com. Check out Davey on Twitch, twitch.tv/rvondi.
If you are watching right now, thank you very much.
Yes.
The other thing, too, so we do read all of your email. Anything you say to us, we do read it. And actually, Rich, we have that email we have to discuss that guy sent today.
He wants to help us out with something.
Wants to help us out with something, so that's good. And we'll take some help. And positive feedback or constructive criticism is always welcome by us. I'm getting way better at it. We're not responding.
I certainly don't mind it. Davey sometimes gets his... britches up in a bunch, but that's what happens. Yeah. That's all right, Ryan. We're all learning. We're all expanding as humans.
We're just trying to get better. Expanding is what it is. Expanding our own universe.
Our horizons. Universes. Yeah, right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that'll pretty much put the bow on it here.
Well, that'll do it for you. I'm going to stick around and take some more questions. I know rolling. You have to go.
I'm ending the podcast. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Download the podcast. And look who it is. It's my wife.
Look who it is. There she is. Pop in the screen.
Your podcast debut. She has run away now. She's not coming back. That'll do it. Maybe next week.
She's going to stay in the house. She's just not going to be on the podcast.
She's not going to be in the podcast. All right.
Out of the room. Okay.
All right. Goodbye.